Hello and welcome to this Betfair special. This is your Aintree Grand National preview show with Betfair ambassador and champion trainer, of course, Paul Nicholls. Sadly, not doing it in person, but it doesn't mean that this show is going to be any less informative because we're going to rattle through what is a really big team heading up to Aintree. For team Paul Nicholls from Ditchy, of course. Paul, live down in Ditchy as we talk right now. How are you down there?
Yeah, good. Yeah, thankfully we've had a dry morning for a change. Yeah, horses are all good. Everyone's going forward. Everyone's looking forward to Aintree, as we always do, and can't wait to get going.
Well, and it's a pretty big year. I mean, I mentioned there that you've got a big team going. I'm really looking forward to discussing a few of the headline acts as well across the 3 days. But there's so much hype and sort of build up, I guess, around this trainers' championship. And of course, Aintree is going to be huge for that. There's so much prize money up for grabs. You taking on Dan Skelton. And don't forget, Willie Mullins, only about 600,000 behind. Sounds like a lot, but with the prize money up for grabs, that could go in an instant. How are you coping or finding the pressure at the moment? Are you quite enjoying the rivalry with Dan, or are you a bit like, let's get this over the line now?
I don't think I'm feeling the pressure quite like Dan probably is. I've had the experience, you know, so many times, go to, even to the last day, even battles with Willie through to the last day of the season. So you can only do your best. And, you know, Aintree has a plays a big part in the championship, and we'll all know a lot more at the end of the week. You know, Willie's obviously sending plenty of horses over just in case, I suppose, if they won the National, that would give them a fighting chance. So it's going to be interesting. Dan's, what, £25,000 in front of us, which is nothing in the scheme of things at the moment, you know, because 3 weeks of big prize money with Aintree, and then you go on to Cheltenham, Ayr and Sandown. So it's a big 3 weeks now, but Aintree often has a big say in the whole thing. So hoping we can win plenty of prize money this week. And yeah, it's, you know, look, it's pressure, but I was feeling a bit more pressure. I've been more interested for now to try and get Harry Cobden as champion jockey. That's been a big thing for this season. Harry and I were determined that he was going to have a good go at it. And poor old Sean, unfortunately, had an injury that's kept him off for a little while, but then Harry didn't ride in the summer as much. So it sort of balances out a bit. But Harry's in a good position at the moment. If we can keep him sound and keep that ball rolling for him, and if he was champion jockey, I promise you, I'll be absolutely delighted. And if we do the same, great. If we don't, well, there's another year, you know.
Well, there'll be a big summer party if it's champion jockey and champion trainer down at Ditchy, won't there? Tell me this then, obviously no runner in the Grand National this year for you, but in terms of the changes, you know, this is the first year we're going to have the changes to the National, the most recent set of changes. So we've got a smaller field, different start time and a different starting position as well. What's your take on the changes that they've made, the most recent set anyway?
It's changes every year now, isn't there? So I don't know. I don't know what is right and wrong, you know, whatever happens, if there's fallers or things go wrong, there'll be complaints or moans, you know, whatever. It's hard to make a race like the National completely 100% safe, but the improvements over the last few years have made, obviously, a big difference. Anything to do with safety and welfare of horses is a positive, but at some time there has to be, you draw a line and say, well, this is the race, let's just get on with it and keep changing it all the time. So hopefully, you know, we'll have a great National this year. And, you know, all the changes will have looked to have been a positive, but, you know, let's see.
Like you say, it's kind of, if it hopefully goes through kind of incident-free, fingers crossed, it'll be deemed as a success for the first year anyway. But if something happens, then are those changes deemed as a failure? I don't think it quite works like that. But anyway, that is a discussion for another day, because what we really want to talk to you about is the horses you have going up to Aintree for the 3 days. We'll kick off obviously with Thursday, and we're going to cover kind of the main hopes. And then at the end of the show, we'll rattle through a few added extras in the handicaps and things. But just as a summary overall, Paul, how do you feel your squad is this year? When this running order came through, I thought, my God, this feels like a stronger, bigger squad than it has been previously, or not?
I think we always try and have a good strong team for Aintree. I'd say one thing this year, looking at the entries, it's the strongest a lot of entries I've seen for a long, long time. Right. You know, the number of entries in some of the novice chases and the other races are way above what it's been. So I think actually we've got a nice team, but I think a lot of people have got nice teams in it. You know, it looks like very, very competitive racing this week. So it's going to be, you know, strong racing.
Okay, well, let's kick off then with Ginny's Destiny, who's set to run in the manifesto over the 2.5 miles, also has a 3 mile entry, but expect to see him over the 2.5. Obviously, second in the turn is when we last saw him to Grey Dawning, who I think is widely considered, well, is one of the best novice chasers around. He led that day and he was so game in the finish. Is that level as good as he is, or do you think there's still even more improvement to come from a horse who's improved leaps and bounds?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's got a good rating now. I mean, if he'd have jumped the second last really cleanly, the only mistake he'd made probably in all the runs he's had, he got in a bit tight. He's a grand jumper. There's not much between those two horses. And I think we're going to go 2.5 because with all the rain, I didn't necessarily want to go 3 miles yet. So we're sticking that. It's like, as we say this every single year, he was trained for Cheltenham. He had a hard race at Cheltenham. Who knows whether the horses who ran at Cheltenham were going to perform to their best at this meeting? And it is literally impossible to give you an answer on that. He seems well. All the Cheltenham horses had a fortnight doing not a lot and freshened up and haven't done a massive amount with them, but just enough to make sure they're, in good shape. So as long as that race it, Cheltenham didn't leave a mark on him. And also the winner, they both had very hard races and they were a long way in front of the rest of them. It'll be interesting racing. I don't think there's too much between them. Jumping will count for a little bit. And I think Aintree is a track you've got to jump really well. It's a track they have to jump to the very best. And one thing of this fella, his jumping has been great. He'll stay on strong. So yeah, it's a strong looking race, but I think we've got a chance if he performs to his best.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the best efforts in defeat of the festival, really. The way he jumped, as you say, from the front, and he's so game in the finish. He's such a likable individual. What about, I tell you, one of the horses who will have a lot of focus on the Thursday will be Caliph de Burley in the juvenile hurdle. Obviously, just the three starts so far and such a following because of how he goes and does it. Last seen in the Adonis at Kempton. You've waxed lyrical about this horse. Just expand on that for us.
But he's a big chasing sort. We've liked him from the day he came. He does everything very nicely. Of course, he gave everything 8 pound in the Adonis and won third run, third win. A little bit like Sergino Nickies. I mean, he's won all three of his as well. Similar type of horse. I think Nickies is just had the National Hunt bred horses rather than flatbred horses. We got a bit to find with Nicky's horse, and he's rated 10 pound higher. But I think 135 for us is a very fair mark. I think there's lots of improvement to come on top of that. He obviously didn't go to Cheltenham, neither did Nicky, so that's a big plus. And he ran very well at Kempton. We may have learned a little bit that we may have rode him wrong. We might have been better off to make more use of him. And I think he's improved since then. I've just seen his homework and the way he looks. We're very, very happy with him. So he's got a leading chance in this race. And I think a key is that these horses are fresh as well.
Yeah, fresh horse. It'd be a proper horse race around there as well. Do you think the track will really suit him, Kempton? And sorry, Aintree.
He's won twice around Kempton. It won't be a problem. It'll probably suit him a little bit more. I think left-handed will suit him. Soft ground will suit him. If he can win around Kempton, Aintree's not going to be a problem.
Brilliant. Okay, he really is something to look forward to, and not only this week, but of course into next season as well. Can't wait for his development. Let's talk about the big lad, Brave Man's Game, set to run hopefully in the Aintree Bowl. Aintree really hasn't been this lad's stomping ground for various reasons, whether it's been ground or just, backfiring off the back of Cheltenham, or circumstances out of his control, of course, as well. But how has he come out of Cheltenham and that Gold Cup run?
Again, like Ginny's Destiny, he did actually have a very hard race. I didn't think he was going particularly well after he jumped two on the ground. Basically, all season, he hasn't had his ground right. As a light heavy at Wetherby, heavy at Haydock, very soft at Kempton. No, he ran a really good race that day, and that race could be pivotal to how this race turns out with Uwick and Shiskin. They would have been close between Shiskin and Brave Man's Game if they hadn't gotten a bit of a tangle in one thing or another at the second last. The track will suit him better, I think, than Cheltenham possibly. But I'd love to see it dry up a little bit. The Marmite track would probably be better than the national track if it keeps raining. So I do worry he'd like good ground, but it's not going to be good ground. So we've got to take our chance. He seems very well. He had an easy 2 weeks. He's done all his work well. Scott's pleased with him. But who knows? He had a hard race at Cheltenham. But he does seem very well. He hasn't had a lot of racing, really. We only ran him the once after Kempton. So he seems well. He ran very well at Punchestown at the end of last season in a good race. And Yeah, I'm looking forward to him running. You know, it's a race. He's well capable of winning if it all went right or being right in the mix.
Yeah, it is just that it's all those factors you've mentioned, the weather mainly top of the list for him. I really hope it does dry up and then we get some proper fair racing on like a
Yeah.
solid surface. Cap Dumoutin, will he run in the Fox Hunters with Oliver?
Yeah, he's going to run. He'd been running in a few handicaps and probably wasn't up to winning some of those better handicaps off the mark he got. He was stuck on that all the time. And I just felt it'd be a nice horse for Olive to ride. He won very well on him at Leicester. That was 2 miles. But he has won over 2.5. He'll give her a great ride. She scored him over some national fences at Lambourne the other day. They jumped great, got on well. He'll give her a great ride. She went round last year on Magic Saint. Had a great time. I think this horse will do the same. He's well capable of running well. It's a hard race to win. You need to jump and gallop, and she's looking forward to it.
Different type of nerves for you watching your daughter jump around the Grand National
Yeah, of course
fences.
it is. Of course it is. But he just wanted to go and have a good time. You know, I've always thought he'd be the ideal horse for her to do this. He's got a good jump in him. Whether he's good enough to win at Fox Hunters, I don't know. But he's certainly in the right. He's not going to be winning handicaps off the mark he got. So, you know, he could be a fun hunter chaser for her. And I think he'll give her a good ride. Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm sure she's really looking forward to that. What a thrill I'm sure she'll have. Let's move on to Friday. Again, just covering the bigger names here, and then we'll rattle through some extras towards the end of the show. Pic Dori back in the Melling Chase, won it last year. He's having a terrific season. I mean, that Ascot Chase win was a real sight out in front, just so relentless. And it actually, when I was looking back at his form, Paul, he's been so consistent now in the last year or so. How is he? Obviously, not a Cheltenham runner, so coming here fresh.
Yeah, he is fresh. Yeah, he's in really good shape. I mean, I think his last run was his career best. Some people argue differently, but I think it was. And he was positive. He jumped brilliantly. He's got that together, and he galloped all the way to line and beat two very smart horses who never got in the race. He won this race last year. This track probably suits him really well. Flat track, left-handed. It's a good race this year. John Bond, of course, is in there who hasn't missed Cheltenham. Protector Krat, who had a hard race. You know, he will have needed, like some of these other ones we've talked about, to got over the race at Cheltenham because he did have a hard race. Staystar made sure he had a hard race, and Staystar certainly would not be running the game this season. I know it left a mark on him, and sometimes those hard
Brilliant.
races do. So Protector Krat will have to have done very well to get over that, I would have thought, but he's a class horse. Banbridge would want the ground to dry up. It's a good looking race on paper, but you know, we're really looking forward to it, and I've trained him for this race. You know, it was Ascot and Aintree were the only, you know, he hasn't had the Cheltenham, you know, experience in running there, and we're thinking if he's right or not right. I know he's very, very well.
I was going to say, because it's like he is, not being a Cheltenham horse almost makes him, a more straightforward horse to train for this part of the season, because you haven't had to peak him for a festival that he hasn't either run at or he's had a hard race at.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if he'd have gone to Cheltenham, he certainly wouldn't be winning this race. I know that for sure. But because we set our stall out there, what were we going to do? Targeted to these two races, you know, Ascot and here. It's meant he had a little break after Ascot, and then he's done a lot of work, and he's really well ready to go. I'm very happy with him.
Would he be one of your, I mean, I'll ask you at the end, but would he want to be one of your best chances of the week, do you think?
I think he's probably our best chance of the week. You know, one of the best, what, who knows how long's a piece of string, really, with some of those horses. But he's going into the race with a lot in his favour.
Really looking forward to that. Talk to me about the Topham Chase, because you've got a few horses entered there, but I think just Keldestin going.
I think so. Outlaw Peter, we didn't confirm because he doesn't want soft ground. That soft ground there, I thought another year would do him good. I was always keen to run Candid Kid in this race. I thought, you know, novices, he can arguably be well handicapped, but he does like better ground. He has run okay on slower ground, but if ground had been good to soft or better than it is at the moment, we'd have considered it. I still haven't ruled it out. I just want to see what the weather's going to do right up until Friday. They do give dry day Thursday and Friday. So if it looked, if it was getting anywhere near good to soft, I could well go. If not, we'll end up going to Ayr with him next weekend. And there are options for horses like him at Ayr. So the ground is the important thing for him. But if he did run and the ground was okay, I could see him running very well.
That's Candu Kid then.
Yeah.
What about Keldestin, the one that will show up?
He needs to leave an ordinary run behind him at Chepstow the other day. He loves soft ground. He's had loads of experience, and I mean, the heavier the ground, the better for him, really. So it's in a lot of ways, if it rained all week, it would be ideal for him.
And what happened at Chepstow? Any excuse or?
Well, that was 2 miles. I think she, probably we welled along, just went too quick. And sometimes a horse who wants a trip and you go too fast, you end up not working out. But other than that, he's
Yeah.
been running really well. I mean, he's got a lot to do on his plate here. I mean, he'd be 33 to one shot, I'd say, looking at it. He's got a bit to do, but he'll jump around. And if it was very testing ground, that would be in his favour.
Okay, let's roll on to Saturday then. A couple of, well, one particular high profile name, which we'll get to in a minute, but another one as well in Monmaral. He has a 3 mile handicap hurdle entry, obviously won the pretemps at the festival at a big price with those blinkers applied. Will he show up here? Is he going to run?
Yeah, he runs. That's the plan. He's won at Aintree, of course. He won a Grade One at Aintree before as a juvenile. He went up 6 pound, 144, which is acceptable. We could claim him if we want to. Freddie's ridden him before. I need to look at the weight, see where we are near the day, but I could see him running nicely. You know, it was good to get him back. I think hurdles are his bag, really, rather than jumping fences.
I felt like, get it. I know it was a big price, but given what he'd done as a juvenile and talking to you about Montmorel when we did the preview show for Cheltenham, he just hadn't ever quite reached those heights again. So to get him back in a winner's enclosure at the Cheltenham Festival and on the bigger stage, you must have taken some satisfaction from that, I think is what I mean, in terms of a training effort.
Yeah, but once he ran at Musselburgh and jumped particularly well, and Brani said he's not a chaser, I thought, oh, we've got one plan here. Let's get him in the pretemps. Got one qualifier left at Chepstow. Try and be in the first four, and he was fourth. And I actually thought he'd run well. I'm not saying that to anybody. I thought he'd win. I thought he'd run well. You know,
Yeah.
he hadn't. And I think the race at Chepstow did him good because he hadn't actually really finished a race for a while. And you know, I think Harry was quite surprised because Harry was having sort of dropped him in a bit, was having a jolly nice time, and we're jumping well and halfway down the back straight, he picked a bit up and was, of course, we've got a chance here, and he stayed on very strongly. So yeah, I mean, if he reproduces that, he'll be in the mix.
Blinkers, do you think they really had, did they have a revolutionary effect, or was that only just a fraction of it?
Look, he won, so they obviously had a little bit of effect. I think it just sharpened him up a little bit. Who knows? I mean, blinkers never make a slow horse go any faster, but it just can sharpen them up a bit, and it just traveled well. So we're definitely going to leave them on.
Brilliant. Okay, look forward to seeing him then. And Caldwell Potter has an entry in the Top Novices Hurdle over the 2 miles. Obviously, Swerve Cheltenham because of the very high profile sale and stable switch from Gordon's to you. Everyone knows the story by now. First up, how is he, Caldwell Potter?
Yeah, he's fine. He's going to run Saturday in the 2.5 mile, and obviously he won't go Friday. I just put him in there just in case it turned out very heavy, and you know, looking at the race, it looks quite hot. And there's, I'd say, as I said earlier, it's going to be looks dry Friday and Saturday. And I think 2.5 obviously is a trip. Although he's won over two at Leopardstown in very heavy ground, I'd say he's a stayer, really. And he's done every nicely at home. Gordon said to me he's not a morning glory at home. He's just workmanlike, which is what you see at home. And I presume he leaves his best for the track, and he's jumped nicely, everything's gone well, he seems fit and well. I'd say he's acclimatized now, so we're looking forward to running him.
Exciting. I mean, I imagine your training setup and regime in the mornings has probably been quite different from Gordon's, including like the way in which you school them, even in obviously in the tight outdoor school that we see so often. Is he the sort of horse who's just taken all of that in his stride?
Absolutely. That's why I didn't want to go to Cheltenham, because I know it takes a long while for them to get used to everything. It's different. It's jumping. He just took to that school like he jumps brilliant, and he's kind
Really?
of athletic, which is a sign of a good horse. They go in that school and jump like he does. A sign of a good horse. Cruises up over the hill. All the work we've done with him has been, you know, ideal. He seems to thrive on the work, and yeah, we're very happy with him, and we're, you know, looking forward to running him. But ultimately, it's next season that we're really looking forward to when he jumps a fence.
And last question on him. I know you've had plenty of expensive horses through the yard, but it's something people will focus on because of the high profile purchases and the sale and the controversy around that. Is it, does it bring any added pressure what their price tag is, or do you just kick on now?
Not at all. I always say when they come through that front gate, they're all worth the same, and it's the only way you can look at them. You know, that's the price he made at the sale was driven by market forces at the time, really. But you don't look at that. You know, and we're looking to the future with him as much as anything, and we're hoping to run a nice solid race on Saturday, and then I think a good summer here in Ditcher grass, and start off next season it's always a lot easier when you start from scratch with the horse, and you know, so he's good
Yeah.
from day one, so it'll make life a bit easier the next season for him. But we like him a lot, and he's going to make into a lovely staying chaser in time. But you know, we just like him to run well on Saturday for everybody, and he looks great, so I don't see why not. But I'm thrilled with what I've seen for the future anyway.
Okay, so it's a case of so far, so good for Caldwell Potter then. Those are pretty much the sort of graded horses and higher profile names. In terms of other entries that you've got in that graded mare's bumper, you've got one in there, Jubilee Alpha. Is she going to run? She's just had the one start, the one win. Is she going to show up?
She's running. She liked the ground. She was very impressive at Wincanton the first day. Now, who knows what that bumper was, but I think the first and second looked quite smart that day, and pulled well clear the rest of the field. So you can't do no more than win on your debut, and we think she's nice. So yeah, it's a good looking race, and we're looking forward to her running.
Yeah, it's always a hot contest, that, isn't there? Everyone looking for a bit of black type and all of that. What about the likes of that 2.5 mile handicap hurdle? Sonny Gino has an entry in the waterside as well, maybe?
Simon Gino will run. He always goes well at Aintree. He loves that track. He ran very well in this race last year, and was very unlucky actually. Nearly got brought down turning into the home straight and stayed on strongly. And of course, he won at Aintree in November. He's a tad disappointed at Cheltenham. I don't know quite why. I'm not convinced Cheltenham's his track. This track will suit him better. So yeah, he's in there with an outside chance. And I just Clifford and I were looking this morning in the waterside, 10 stone 6. If he got in the race, could be quite attractive. He's very, very well. So we could be double-handed in that race. As you know, in the waterside, it's a horse I really like. He won very well at Aintree early in the season. He won at Lingfield, got a bit buzzy and wound up at Ascot, and still ran very well. So we're going to put a hood on him this time. It seems to just take the edge off him a little bit. So he may not get in, but if he did, we could be very tempted to have a look at it.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, has he been in a hood at home, has he?
I mean, school nicely this morning, but he's one of a number. If he doesn't get in there, he'll either go to Cheltenham or Ayr next week. But I'd love to be running in this race with 10 stone six. We'll see.
You're very tempted by that. I can see that. What about Affadil? You mentioned Ayr. Affadil has an entry for Ayr. Is he more likely to go there?
Well, no, I think we've always thought he might do both, to be honest with you. He's a
Okay.
pretty strong horse who'd taken both. He ran very well at Cheltenham the other day. I didn't want to run him at Cheltenham the other day because I thought the ground was too heavy, and Paul Vogt persuaded me to run him. And actually, Freddie, great piece of riding, jumped off in front, nicked a few lengths, and he ran very, very well, jumped the last in front. And I think if the ground had been decent that day, he might have took a bit of catching. That was probably a good run. We do quite well in this boys' race. And I'd like to think he's got a good chance if it's not too soft.
Okay, if it's not too soft with that caveat,
Well,
fair
that's
enough.
mine. But if you look at just the fact he was fifth in the County Hurley, ran very well on heavy ground, really. So this track, you being flat, will suit him better. I'm sure it's an ideal track for him there. As I said, we may well go to Ayr next weekend with him.
Okay, anything else for you to mention? There's a couple of other horses that were left on our list, but I think we've covered most of them. Is there anything else you'd like to throw into the mix whilst we're here?
Outlaw Peter's entered in the 3 mile handicap on Saturday. It's a good race. I want to look at the weights. He could, if it looked like being dry and wasn't too bad, he could run in that. He's in good form. He won well at Kempton the last day. If he doesn't, he'll head off to Ayr next weekend. Two nice horses in the bumper. Filehand, who's got a lot of ability, but is a bit quirky and sort of take a bit of ride in. I dare say Lorcan Williams will ride him. And a horse called Sorcelair, Saint to Saint horse, who absolutely bolted in at Taunton the other day. Improving horse will run well. I'm not saying he'll win, but he'll run well. And I think that's pretty well all of them. A horse called Sam Brew, who was a good horse in France and ran very well at Chepstow last weekend. We've got to decide whether we run him in the Red Run or we wait for Ayr next weekend. So there's a few decisions on some of those horses. But an exciting team through the week and looking forward to it.
It's kind of a nice time of year in the sense of, like you mentioned it a fair bit there. You know, if the weather doesn't come right, and look, we're all focusing on Aintree, but if the ground doesn't come right for these horses, the fact you've got Ayr and Sandown down the line, like there is still options. We're not right at the end yet.
And Cheltenham as well. There's a good meeting there next week. So, but I mean, I'd say if it keeps raining at Cheltenham, we've got testing. It's been like it all the way around. Sometime or another, it's bound to dry up. So, yeah, I mean, some of those horses aren't, I always thought the very, very top horses, if you go back to those good ones where you said they'll win on any ground. But the horses that are a little bit low, that to bring out their best performances, ground is very, very important. And if the ground's not right for them, you've got to, wait for another day. I mean, I'm glad we haven't got 300 through five in the National this week. And we were thinking, oh, shall we, shan't we? Because it absolutely hates soft ground. And the decision to go for the Bet365 Gold Cup at Sandown this year is the right one. I'd love to have a runner in the National, and you know, you do every year, but we'll get horses back in it another time. We just haven't got the right number of horses. The suitable horses. He was actually the only one we had this year, but he might go next year. But the ground is important to get the best performance out of some of those horses.
Yeah, absolutely. Whilst we're talking about national, then obviously, like you said, don't have a runner in the race, and I always feel with you that you're pretty much, on your own track, focusing on your own horses. But I'm sure you've probably taken note of what's set to run in the national. Is there anything that you fancy? Anything that you think might run well or win?
Well, I'm going to really look forward to Harry, obviously riding Noble Yates. Previous winner of the race, he's been running well over hurdles. Sure, they'll have him ready for the race. So I'm looking forward to seeing him run.
Yeah, I was watching back the replay of the race from last year, actually, and it reminded me of how well he ran on towards the closing stage of the race. And now, having Harry on, and Harry knows him now, he's actually my tip as well, Paul. So great minds think alike and all that. Last question to you, but I think we've kind of covered it. Best chance of the week. I know we mentioned earlier with Pick Dory, but anything else to add in there?
Well, it's hard to say best chance of the week because I certainly wouldn't have said Mon Mooreall at Cheltenham, that's for sure. You know, I thought Ginny's Destiny was one of our best chances of the week. And look, he ran very, very well. And if he runs to that form, he'll go well again. But best chance of the week, one I'm really looking forward to running, I'd say, and it's one of our best chances, is Pick Dory.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, look, I will see you up there. Very much looking forward to it. Best of luck to you, your team, Harry Cobden, of course, as well. Here at Team Betfair, we are very much rooting for all of you down there at Ditchy. So go well, Paul. Thank you very much for your time. And listeners and viewers out there, have a good week at Aintree. So looking forward to it. But as always, do it responsibly. Use Betfair safer gambling tools. There'll be loads of offers. There'll be loads of extra place races, loads of different ways to get involved and have fun with it. But we do want you to do it responsibly. So read the T's and C's when it comes to the offers. And why wouldn't you use those Betfair safer gambling tools? They're easy to find. They're on the website, and there's something for everyone. So please do that so that you can have fun with it. But for now, thank you very much for watching and listening. That was our Aintree preview show.